Welcome to the Contact Center Expert Show. This show is hosted by Nancy Monroe, CEO of Verbal Transactions, a voice enablement technology company. Join our discussion on how you can make your contact center a well-oiled machine.
All right. Woo. This is that crowd. They're very excited to be here today. And I have a very exciting guest today. So my guest today is Steve Betterman, who is a published author, an accomplished leader, and highly regarded in the contact center industry as an innovator. He has a phenomenal journey throughout his career, and his expertise in corporate restructuring and strategic growth brought him to the reputation of a renaissance, you can't see me, I'm doing air quotes, renaissance business leader. He's also an Amazon best-selling author, having released a very successful series of corporate thrillers, which I'm kind of curious to check out. Now Steve is the president and CEO of Noble Biz, a contact center technology company that provides carrier and software services. From productivity and compliance tools to a unique carrier of carriers network and a complete omni-channel software with social media integrations, web, chat, SMS, and of course, voice. Noble Biz offers state-of-the-art solutions for companies that want to keep their clients happy. His personal creed is make a promise, keep a promise, and he applies it in both his personal and professional life. So Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to speaking to your audience and seeing if I can share some of the years of experience that I seem to have had at my old age.
Well, I think you're younger than you are, and we're as young as we think we are, but I'm going to tap into your wisdom today because your current business, Noble Biz, to me, I think is extremely relevant today. I think you're probably, I hope your phone is ringing off the hook, but, you know, basically you've built a system that's a completely cloud-based call center, phone system, you know, everything that's can help with business redundancy and all of that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got to that point where you thought this would be a great solution for the contact center space.
For contact centers, which was a little bit different than the other carriers that contact center runs into, because we knew the contact center had a specific need. So we have a worldwide network, a carrier network. We're not a referral telco, we're mm-hmm. a true carrier. And over the years, you know, we've obviously grown to be the leader in that. At some point in time, and this is really about 6 years ago, we realized that as people were moving away from the on-premise and moving into the cloud, that our own relevancy required us to recognize that technology, not just back-end carrier, was important. Because we all had so much experience in contact center ourselves. We began to build our own hosted platform. We've done some acquisitions since. We've listened a lot to our clients to try to say what is relevant, because the contact center space is not a quick adopter of new technologies. We said, what are they really using today? And obviously omnichannel is finally in motion within contact centers, although discussed for many years, and we fit mm-hmm. perfectly as a carrier and a manufacturer.
Right. And I was at an event in New York City last year, and they talked about how still 70% of contact centers at that time were on premise. Even though you go to a trade show, you see cloud here, cloud this, omnichannel that. I think what COVID-19 has accelerated in that timeline of really, forcing people into that business model. Have you seen that?
Well, I think change in itself, inevitably that dynamic leads to other disallowance of other decisions. So if you're going to adopt it, so if you're moving agents home that you may mm-hmm. not have had home, and they begin to be successful, but you also recognize that your own client base may not yet be using you as much because of the pandemic, you have to be able to say, well, what other things can my technology provide? And and the truth of the matter is this, we're all using a wide range of channels as consumers. on our website. We chat pops up. You use chat. We talk to people at the airlines. You know, we do that without any complete automation, without any real people. And when we can show the client today that has just gone home that they can enhance their offering and their own operations without any additional cost, well, that becomes really attractive, you know. And really, there is no reason you need to charge more for a wide range of channels. One last thing I would say is this. Over the years, mm-hmm. multi-channels has been what people have been looking at, which is how do I do chat, how do I do email, how do I do voice mm-hmm. or video. But they were always separate. So you would lose the chain of connectivity and reporting piece with the client. Whereas today, an omni-channel solution allows you to queue up any form of communication and allows you to, whatever it is, if it's a chat versus a video, it stays within queue, and queue, as any contact center will tell you, is really the key to their need. And now that we accomplish that, yeah, we are, our phones are actually ringing. I wouldn't say off the hook, but certainly ringing right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, you know, I saw a demonstration at that same event where somebody says, okay, I'm going to start with somebody's on chat on our website, they're having a problem, and then they did a screen share, so they did, you know, they didn't have to jump out of that channel to keep the thread going. And so I think that's what's really key, is keeping the thread of communication
yeah.
going consistently. And, you know, to me, it's like, oh, yeah, why aren't more people doing this? But, you know, you've got those sunk costs in a lot of these call centers, and they just, you know, their
well,
margins are pretty thin as they are. Mm-hmm.
They've sunk that into their capital expenditures over the years, and they have on-site
yep.
systems, and they feel their whole staff is based on supporting that on-premise system. So it's
mm-hmm.
it's difficult to simply, let's change our whole model. But the pandemic is forcing the issue. And
yeah.
and so it's less of a decision now for an owner of a contact center versus a necessity to go home. And all of a sudden they go home and they see limitations on their on-premise system, and then they see there may be some cost savings as well, and they see it's simple to use. I mean, why wouldn't you do it? You know, and frankly,
right.
we're not the only
right.
ones with it. There are a number of strong companies doing it the right way, and, you know, we'd like to just think we're one of them.
Yeah, well, and it's a great redundancy plan, you know, for any business operation
yep.
like that, too.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
And by
now,
the way, redundancy mm-hmm. was the original reason for remote agents, right? And,
yeah.
And now you just get to go to another level.
Yeah. No, it is funny because I was talking to a call center the other day, and they said, well, you know, because I thought they would run into the problem where maybe their agents, you know, once they were forced to work from home, they, you know, a lot of people use a Mac as their personal computer.
Yeah.
And I said, well, did you run into a situation where a lot of people had Macs? And she's like, no, actually, our biggest problem was more people had Windows 7 than Windows 10. And so I'm
right.
like, oh, that's, you know, interesting. So our IT people had to kind of relax their rules a little bit. Even though Microsoft themselves are starting to not support Windows 7 and either, you know, just let them use that version or, you know, wait until they can get upgraded or, you know, figure something out. But, you know, some of these rules that people were so stringent with before with their on-premise systems, you know, I think they're beginning to realize the benefits too of not just necessarily having this one kind of architecture that, you know, it doesn't break, it works, you know, the system's there. But, you know, I think, you know,
yeah.
stretching out to the cloud and putting different types of architectures in place, you know, is
well,
a good thing for these IT folks too.
Putting architecture in place when you manufacture, when we design our technology that allows for a wider range of computer systems that the agents are using at
mm-hmm.
home or abroad or elsewhere, so that we can be flexible. So, I mean, the real key with being able to offer a more universal solution, whether it be in a wide range of channels, queued, or just simply you can go home or not, or be anywhere in the world and work.
Yeah.
The real key there is creating versatility in it. I mean, that's the harder part to solve, but if you're solving it at the point of architecture, as you know with your own stuff, you know, that's the right way to do it.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, where I'm sure that they quickly put this together, that from a hiring standpoint and a recruitment standpoint, all these folks that had the brick and mortar call centers where they were limited to their talent pool are now thinking, why didn't we do this a long time ago? Because we can hire anybody now. You know, we don't have to be just stuck with the geographical region that we're at, because they probably go through that pool, you know, pretty fast if you're in a kind of a rural area.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. For many years, obviously, there's been a lot of initiatives towards offshore outsourcing groups
mm-hmm.
anywhere in the world. But the idea of just in the States being able to just where companies value the need to be able to just employ within the state, they can do that in those remote
mm-hmm.
areas or rural areas perfectly with this. And, you know, but I think the key is somebody feeling, a manager feeling that they can control their environment. And they're used to coming into an office and seeing 500 agents and feeling that they know how to manage that. And so what that requires and what we've done is, you know, you end up building tools that allow you to do the same thing but remote, so
mm-hmm.
that I can see my agent sitting in a small town somewhere in the world. I can listen to them. I can participate with them. And my virtual environment, it won't lose me any of the traction and gain I feel I get in person. And the last thing is, it's got to be easy as heck to train and to use.
Yeah.
And that's what I think contact center sphere is. They go, you know, I don't know that just anybody anywhere can learn the technology. But when you show them that anybody anywhere certainly can within 5 minutes, then they're 5 minutes, wow, yeah, okay, now we're talking.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what we run into with our call center simulator, because, you know, people are used to having people in a physical classroom, and I can walk around that classroom, and then we move them into the nesting stage so I can sit next to them, or I can, you know, or maybe we're doing role playing, and they're saying that, oh gosh, you know, that it's really hard to role play through Zoom. So, you know, because our simulator can create very realistic scenarios that look and feel just like, you know, sitting at your desk, and then the instructor can monitor the results from, you know, anywhere in the world and look to see, oh, they did the greeting correctly. They didn't do the authentication correctly. They did this for, you know. And so every single step of that transaction, you know, is micromanaged through the simulator, so they don't have to sit there and worry that they can't see them doing something, or they can't walk around the classroom and observe them. And so we're finding the same thing. You've got to make the tools easy.
And let's be honest, though. For many years, contact centers have always felt that the ability to walk in a room and scream and yell and hit the buzzer when somebody does something successful, that's been a kind of a key component, I think. And
mm-hmm.
and there's saying, well, how do I replicate that? You know, yes, you can connect me. Yes, I can, you know, everything your replicator does. But how do you create the same level of enthusiasm? And
mm-hmm.
then obviously gamification models and tools out there. But at the same time, you have to say, well, how do I do it without having to bring other tools in? And then, frankly, in my opinion, if that's the only challenge you're left with after going to a remote group, that one should be solvable.
Oh, absolutely. And you can build, you know, people call it their culture. You know, our culture is here, and we have, you know, a certain vibe. And, you know, you can do that virtually. I mean, it's just done a different way, and you can provide, you know, you have to maybe send people physical things, maybe send them T-shirts or send them tchotchkes or whatever, you know, it's the same thing that you were doing in the physical space. you know, you just got to think of creative ways to do it differently, but that still builds the culture around the environment that's virtual now, but not, you know, face-to-face.
Yeah, but you just, you know, the real beauty of this difficult time is that people have just taken on video conferencing, right? They're all like, go home, we'll video conference. And what they have found is that they're pretty creative about how do you use it, you know? And we have hundreds of staff all over the world. And in that regard, we too had to send everybody home. We also had a group of remote agents, but now we had 100% of everyone sitting at home. So how do we use video conferencing? And what we do is we take our normal work groups, keep the channels open so they're always together. And they've learned, and at first they're like, yeah, no, this isn't going to work. It isn't the same. And it's like, no, it isn't the same, but try it, use it, and, you know, be with your work group on video. And we've actually found that it's been so successful just in the last month and a half that it's changing our decisions about our real estate and what office space we really need at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I hosted an event a couple of weeks ago online, and the guest was talking about AR and VR, and I said, you know, what industry do you think is going to be impacted the most through this? And he thinks real estate, you know, office space is certainly going to take a hit because, like you said, you know, do we really need three floors of real estate in this building, you know, and or let people, you know, choose to work from home a certain number of days? So it's I think that's going to take a big hit.
You know what, the fastest growing client that we have right now, and by the way, they were fastest before the pandemic. They started out as a small 24-seat center, and they're now taking on a 6,000-seat client. They entirely built their business, their contact center remote, every single piece. And
wow.
They never had any intention. And all they have is a small office for training that they use at times and certainly for client visits. But otherwise, they are the fastest growing of any of our clients right now.
Wow. Wow, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. But did you ever think that, you know, when you started the business, was that, did you think you'd be just working with smaller companies, or was the vision to always work with the large organizations?
Well, at NovoBiz, I think we're agnostic about it. Now, understand that I wasn't the founder of NovoBiz. I was the founder of a company called TouchStar Software, which was, at the first decade of the century, was one of the world leaders in on-premise systems. But an interesting, and we realized that the way you gain your footprint is to be available to build systems that are agnostic, so that any vertical, any size can use you affordably. And then as you begin to develop your confidence and the industry develop confidence in you, the nature of it is that larger companies begin. And, you know, over time, of course, at Upstart, we develop enterprise divisions, vertical divisions, you know, small to medium divisions. But really, I think most of the companies out there that are the manufacturing side start out very small, with an idea of what they think they can develop, and they usually do it because they know somebody that's willing to buy it, and then it's a very entrepreneurial way to begin, but it's a real way to begin, and a lot of the people come from the contact center space. So that you have to say, why are developers writing software in that space versus at NASA? And the reason is because they're in the space themselves. And so you get very intuitive software because of that. So that's one of the values of the entrepreneurial beginning.
Would you say in the omni-channel space, what would you say is still the dominant channel? Is it still voice?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is voice. Let's just say voice is always necessary. It's I would say chat is second and growing because I would say not all, but many, many companies have already implemented chat within their own websites. So they're already drawing traffic, you know, they're drawing traffic in. Now, when they need to have a deeper conversation that they may accomplish on chat, they'll transition to voice, and that's what an omni versus a multi makes very easy to do, is to work with the same person that you were chatting with now in a voice connection. But you know what's really getting much more interesting is the video, because people are liking the idea of being able to see who they're talking about with. And especially if it's a serious type of a work they're doing, you know, a travel agent gets to really look at the person and they get another level of confidence with video. So voice, chat's growing, video's coming along.
Yeah, because I would think SMS and mobile, that's probably, depending upon the product and service that you're offering, that might be another channel that people are growing. But yes, I can certainly see video growing.
It is. SMS is it's because of the use of our mobile that SMS is becoming more of a standard bearer too, because people are just comfortable working off of that. But at the same time, where you're really seeing a lot of SMS is in drawing traffic into the operation so that somebody does a more conventional approach to working together.
Right. And do you see where the automation, you know, or bots, for lack of a different word, do you see that a lot's trying to be pushed into that particular channel, or is it just still being used for fairly basic transactions?
For like SMS or for just general virtual reality, you mean?
No, the like using bot technology, like a robot, automation.
I have a client who their entire operation is done in an automated fashion with virtual agents. Bot technology has a firm place, but I have to revert back to something I said earlier, which is the adoption of these types of technologies is inherently going to happen, but it's slow in adopting. So the companies that use it and have found that they're willing to understand it, those companies are growing. But I'm not seeing, other than the handful of clients that we have using this virtual technology, I'm not seeing it. We're not getting most of our calls asking for that.
Okay. Right. Yeah, because it's funny because people are like, oh, bots are going to take jobs. And, so I'm like, no, I really don't think they are. I mean, even when I saw RPA for the first time, robotic process automation, handling an accounting transaction or pulling a report together from a bunch of spreadsheets, I thought, well, that's great, because then it's going to allow that accountant to go off and do something that a robot can't do, and spend more time on that. So I don't think the bots are going to really be a big player in removing jobs.
It's better as speech technology has gotten better, but people. How else to say this except we're all on some level lazy-minded, and when we get into doing a transaction in an automated place, if we're not focused on it and it's confusing to us, or we have a question, we want to revert to a real person to communicate with, whether it's in chat or video or voice. And so those agents that thought they were losing their job are just repositioned now to do it a little bit differently. Now, that being said, a truly successful virtual environment, it does. You're not spending the same money that you are on agents that you normally would.
Right, exactly. So what would you say for yourself, what's been the most challenging issue that you faced through COVID-19?
Well, our greatest challenge is our reduction of traffic. So we anticipated that clients, kind of similar to anybody, what do we do if our revenue falls off? What do we, how do we collect money in a timely fashion when everyone is allowing everyone to extend their term longer term?
Right.
And how do we stay inventive and relevant and ready for the new dawn that inevitably will approach? And it's kind of the same thing. And if people really looked at COVID-19, they'd say this is really not a different exercise than many of the exercises we go through in our ups and downs. The only real difference here is the end date is unknown. And
right.
So how do you manage that becomes more of the question. But inevitably, I feel very grateful for our own customers and our people because we're meeting the test. I think it's helping us mature as a group. And I will say this, that the singular thing that you have to get your arms around is maintain your business. Don't plan on growth, meaning don't invest on the growth side, because people are having a hard time making spending decisions right now. So why put people in a position to do that versus ingratiate yourself to your audience, be a knowledge leader,
right.
be a leader, and be in front of them. And as time, you know, as the end date comes closer, that type of relationship with your audience will pay off. That's how we do it.
Yeah. No, that's really wise advice, and you're right, because, you know, nobody knows the end game here. Nobody knows if it's going to rebound, you know, once they open things up and things like that. So you're right, working on your relationships, the intangible things that you can do right now, you know, is worth a lot more than anything tangible at this stage, because it's just, like you said, there's too many unknowns. So that's great insight.
Yeah.
So if somebody's, you know, in a call center where they're, you know, it's on-prem and they're really, you know, looking at moving to the cloud, certainly because of this situation, what would be a couple of steps that you would recommend that they do as far as from a strategy standpoint to get that move done?
I think the first thing they need to do is to say, certainly, how do I functionally do this? So, do I keep my work groups in the same model? Can I take the model that I use or how I carve out my campaigns and my agents and my floor management, can I maintain that in a similar fashion remotely? And once you make that decision of how logistically you do that, then it's really a matter of setting a reasonable transition window. And frankly, it doesn't need to be more than even 10 days. And that's, I've seen people do it in 3 days. So in other words, they send their people home. Those people are now at home. They test themselves out to make sure that the current version of how they run their business can be replicated, make any adjustments to it. And that includes, obviously, implementing your technology. But, you know, for us, as an example, with a company that hasn't used us, a company that's used us can easily transition tomorrow. But a company that is new to us, you know, we've come up with ways to let them implement that technology in 72 hours successfully so that they can minimally go keep their business running. Now, that doesn't include high-level integrations and other variables, but we help. You have to work with your contact center, has to work with a provider that is willing to put their own need aside and say, how do you want to do this? And let me tell you how we can accomplish that to some degree with what we have. And if you have that relationship, I think it's not as difficult as people. It's not certainly not insurmountable.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's just, you know, can I run the business the same way I've been running it, you know, without any major hiccups, you know? And if the answer is yes, which I'm going to guess more than likely is in most cases, then it's just a matter of prioritizing, you know, step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, something like that. Great.
And
well, for my,
really, it's a successful outcome for people when they do it.
Yes. Yeah. So for my last question, looking forward down the road, where do you hope that you take the business, and do you envision adding any other product features that are yet to be? It sounds like you have a lot, but is there maybe video or something like that? But where do you see yourself in the next, 6 months?
Well, next 6 months, let's get through this and encourage our clients to use some of the lessons they learned to expand their business or regain their business. Longer than that, we are a product development company. So we have the beauty of being a carrier, matching it today with our cloud-based Omni technology. And we see that as a kind of a sacrosanct relationship with our clients, because we're sort of the core piece of their business and mission critical piece. So we have to say, what are the next products we develop? We have a large dev group. How do you build products that can be singularly used for the contact centers, but also exponentially sold, whether it's connected to a contact center or verticals even outside the space? So we're sort of expanding greatly in terms of our ability to sell, market sell, and we're great at implementation and support. So we're just going the whole gamut. You'll see us more and more as a wide range of product offerings and software.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for joining us today, and our audience loved it.
They
were so psyched you were here today. So I appreciate your time, and hope to speak to you in the future.
Hey, thanks for having me, and everybody, take care, stay out of the target zone, and good luck to everybody.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye.